How to practice Buddhism. A talk given by Venerable Dr. K. Sri Dhammananda at the Malayan Buddhist Association English Section, IPO.
In this country, is a complicated subject. Although people practice Buddhism, actually they do not know what they practice and how to practice. The main reason is Buddhism is a mixture here. Here we have Chinese Buddhism, Thai Buddhism, Burmese Buddhism, Sri Lankan Buddhism, Tibetan Buddhism, and Japanese Buddhism. So all these ideas, practices, traditions have been mixed up. Therefore, many people experience some sort of confusion in their mind. They do not know which method to be practiced. However, this is natural. We should not bother about various traditions and customs. The Buddha did not introduce any traditions or customs. He preached the Dhamma. And we like our own culture. In every country, people have mixed up, incorporated their own traditional and cultural practices to introduce Buddhism. Therefore, we should not take all those traditional customary practices as Buddhism taught by the Buddha. Then you know how to differentiate. So what we need is the Dhamma. What is Dhamma? Dhamma or Dharma is a very meaningful word used by the Buddha. The word religion is not very meaningful. In simple language, I can summarize the meaning of Dhamma taught by the Buddha. The method taught by the Buddha for us to uphold, for us to practice, in order to maintain our human dignity and to give due credit to human intelligence. Not only that, there are four unfortunate states of existence: Naraka, Tirachina, Preta, Asura. After our death, existence again or rebirth can take place in one of those unfortunate states. They are hell, animal kingdom, a spirit world, and ghost world. These are the four unfortunate states. Those who uphold this Dharma never get into any of these unfortunate states. Now you can understand why the Dhamma or Buddhism is needed. For what purpose? But that is not the main purpose. We have to go further. We are going on round and round within this cycle of birth and death, not knowing what we are doing. Throughout our life, we are going on worrying and crying and fighting and quarreling and developing anger, jealousy, greed and grudge and enmity and bluffing and swindling and cheating and disturbing. These are the things that we are doing. Because of this attitude, our existence in different forms also continue, just like this. So the Dhamma taught by the Buddha teaches us how to get rid of this. Now that means final salvation. So now you have learned two things, three things. First thing, to live as cultured human beings by maintaining human dignity and human intelligence. Second thing, after our death, to avoid some of those unfortunate states. That means rebirth can take place either as human beings or devas or brahmas. In the end, we will be able to see the end of all our physical and mental suffering. We are struggling. Every minute we are struggling to escape from our suffering. But it is a losing battle. Unless we find out the correct method. So the Buddha taught us this method. Then he introduced a simple method for us to start and continue and see the results in the end. Sila, Samadhi, Panya. Three basic principles or three pillars. We have to start from the beginning. Sila means the development of moral background. We must have some sort of moral code. That means we must know how to live as cultural human being, cultured human being. We must know how to live as harmless human being. In simple language, we must know how to live without disturbing others. That is more than enough. That is sila, discipline, our behavior, our conduct. So all our precepts, principles, ethics, morals are based on this word, sila. This is the foundation. To start a religious way of life, this is the foundation. Without laying a proper foundation, when you build something, that is not very steady, very shaky, changeable. So after cultivating our morality, moral background, or our conduct, then we have to concentrate on our human mind. Our human mind is not like others' mind. Human beings are the only living beings in this whole universe who can cultivate that mind up to the maximum level, such as enlightenment and super wisdom. Others cannot do that. That is why the Buddha had to come down to this world. Previous birth he was in one of the heavens, Devaloka. But Devas or God cannot become Buddha. Impossible. Only human mind can do that. So he had to become a human being in order to become a Buddha. So we misuse and abuse our potential. We have so many potentialities in our mind, but eclipse or the power by our anger, illusions, ignorance, craving, selfishness. All these dark clouds completely cover our mental energy. On the other hand, every minute we are wasting, misusing our mental energy for unnecessary things. We do not know how to accumulate or to harness all these mental energies that we are wasting and to utilize for good purpose. Take for example, a big waterfall. You can see every day the water pouring, just spread everywhere. After that, get into the rivers and go back to the sea. An engineer, having seen this, decided to build a dam to collect the water. Then he can produce hydroelectricity to illuminate the whole country. If not, we can divert this water for agriculture to develop the country. So our mental energy that we are wasting is exactly like this. You know how much mental energy we are wasting through our eyes and the nose and the mouth and the ear and the body. These five channels waste our mental energy. Again, mental imagination. We are going on creating imagination. Ridiculous ideas, meaningless ideas in our mind, wasting our energy. So the Buddha has introduced one method for us to harness, accumulate this mental energy. Now that is called meditation. Meditation means without wasting our mental energy, we arrest all the energies and the mind, then go on training, taming, cultivating, developing that energy. Now this is the method introduced by the Buddha. not simply by praying to God and worshipping here and there and doing some offerings and performing all sort of rites and rituals and ceremonies, and we never gain knowledge, wisdom, purity, enlightenment through those practices. Now this is the matter. The very clearest in Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha says, Ekayano ayam vikhave maggo. This is the only path, this is the only method for you to practice. There is no any other method. It does not mean Buddhism is the only method. We are not talking about Buddhism. The Buddha is talking about this method. What is this? Mental training. Mental training is the only method. For what purpose? Sattanam visuddhya. To maintain purity in our life, in our mind. Otherwise there is no purity. Now we have polluted mind. Soka pariddhavanam samasikkama. This is the only method for us to get rid of our worries, miseries, mental disturbances. You may go and worship to various gods and goddesses to get rid of your worries and problems. But unless you train your own mind, you never gain real relief from your miseries and worries. Soka pariddhavanam samati. Dukkha domanasanam attagama. To see the end of our physical and mental suffering. Nyayasya adhigama. To get into the noble path like Sotapanna, Satadagami, Anagami, Arahant. Noble path. Nibbānasya satya kiriya. In the end, to experience the Nibbānic bliss. This is the method. So when we consider this Dhamma taught by the Buddha, so in the name of Buddhism, actually, what are we doing? Are we practicing Buddhism taught by the Buddha, or are we doing something else? The subject is Buddhism in modern society. What is the difference between ancient society and the modern society? Is there any difference? To me, there is no difference. Same human beings, same human minds, and same ingredients in our human mind. Do you think the modern man got something extraordinary ingredients in the mind? So when you analyze our mind, we can find only four ingredients. Vedana, Sanya, Sankhara, Vijnana. Only these four. With the ancient or modern, only these four. What are these? Our feeling, our sensation, one mental faculty. Sanya, our recognition, identification, another mental faculty, sankhara, good and bad mental habits that we develop life after life. So whatever you have developed during your previous birth, you are using here. That is why we have different characters, different temperaments, attitudes, moods in one family. Assume there are 5 children from the same father and the same mother, same blood. But they have different mentalities, different characters, different behaviors. These are the things we regard as their own mental habits. They use them. One is born as a criminal-minded boy. Very difficult to stop. Another one is born with very pious and religious-minded person. Another one is very intelligent, another one is a stupid. Another one is very honest, and the other one is very cunning. From their childhood. Now this is called mental habit. This is called storehouse of consciousness. We maintain. Then consciousness is a very rich mental faculty. All the 5 senses bring objects from outside. The mind itself creates imagination. And all the other 3 mental faculties, our feeling, our recognition, our mental habit, also contribute. Consciousness is very rich. So when we die one day, that consciousness departs from here. That consciousness separates from the body. Then the existence again takes place because of that. Now that is how we appear again and again and again. So the mental training is the second stage introduced by the Buddha for us to understand the nature of our own mind. We do not know the nature of our own mind. So if we can understand this, I am like this, I am greedy, I am jealous, I am selfish, I am crooked, I am intelligent, I am stupid, I am lazy. If we can admit, then we know what to do. Then we can train our mind. Otherwise we cannot do anything, because we behave as self-hypocrites. So the Buddha's advice is analyze your own mind. Then you can understand where the weakness is. For that weakness, the remedy was given by the Buddha. Now see the way how to practice Buddhism. If we are hot-tempered, here the method given by the Buddha. If we are very intelligent, this is the method given by the Buddha. If you are selfish, this is the method given by the Buddha. Prescribe. We have ignored all the important aspects of the Buddha's teaching and do something else in the name of Buddhism. So the second stage is mental development to maintain peace, calmness, happiness, tranquility in our life. Then the last item is paññā. Paññā is called supreme enlightenment, wisdom. Wisdom is not knowledge. There is vast difference between knowledge and wisdom. You can gather knowledge after reading books, listening, studying, discussing. You can gather a vast knowledge. That is not wisdom. Wisdom never appears in our mind as long as selfishness, hatred, and ignorance, illusions, remains in the mind. When these three dark corners are completely wiped out, then the wisdom appears in our mind just like brightness, because no more dark corners in the mind. That brightness is called wisdom. So we haven't got wisdom. We got knowledge. Occasionally, the evil forces in our mind, when they flare up, show our ugly face. How sour, how ugly, how horrible looking our faces are, because of those hidden evil forces in the mind. Even a very pious religious man who have lived a religious life for 50 to 60 or 70 years still can get into the same trouble if the mind is not pure. That is the final goal. This is the method introduced by the Buddha for us to practice Buddhism. If you really want to practice Buddhism, what are those three things? First, cultivate our moral background. Then try to understand the nature of our mind. After that, we find out a remedy to cure mental sicknesses. Mental sickness does not mean madness. Then, in the end, we gain super wisdom. This is Buddhism. All the existing religions divide into two groups. Semitic religion. There are many Semitic religions maintain the same basic principle. And some other religion, Asian religion, maintain another attitude. All those people who follow Semitic religion maintain only belief or faith. That's all. To them, mental purity is not important. That is why when they preach, they say, you can observe morals and ethics and principles and all sorts of things. You can be a very good man. If you have no faith, you have no salvation. This is the nature of Semitic religion. Buddhism says, the Buddha says, your faith is immaterial. Your belief is immaterial. What you need is the purity in your mind. If you have purity in your mind, you never maintain silly ideas as real faith, naturally deceptive. If you start with faith and belief, we surrender ourselves, accept any kind of rubbish ideas as truth and facts. But without applying this faith and belief at once, we try to study. We want to know. We investigate. In the end, we find out. After realizing that it is true, confidence naturally appears in the mind. It is not faith. It is not belief. People say they believe this. That means they are not sure. The word belief we use when we are not sure. Now, if I know what it is, I never say that I believe that this is a cup. The belief is not important because I know, I can understand. If I am not sure, then I believe this is a cup. I believe there is a God. That means not sure. Some others say, I don't believe. Both are in the same boat. Those who say they do not believe also do not know anything. So my advice is, not my advice, this is the Buddha's advice, not to believe anything at once. You have a wonderful human mind. Don't think that you cannot understand, but you don't take the trouble to study and think and understand. You simply surrender yourself. Then, another simple method introduced by the Buddha for ordinary lay people, mostly for the householders, to practice Buddhism. Dana, Sila, Bhavana. This method is easy. Start from Dana. Dana does not mean offering food to the monk. Dana means giving something. So what is the main purpose of giving? To reduce our selfishness. Without reducing our selfishness, we cannot go further. Because of our selfishness, we commit enormous mistakes, disturb others. So, if we can contribute something for the benefit of others, at that time you reduce your selfishness. That is the beginning. That is the way how you have to start Buddhist way of life. Then you have to come to the second stage, sila. Sila means morality, development of moral background. By considering your human weaknesses, you try to reduce your weaknesses. That is called sila. The meaning is training. Sila means training. Then the Buddha has introduced five principles for you to uphold as sila. What are those five? Abstaining from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, telling lies, and taking intoxicating drinks and drugs. These are the five. So why do you want to observe? Again, the difference between Buddhism and other religions. Others observe their religious commandments given by their God, thinking if they violate any of these commandments, the God will punish them. Fear of God, fear of punishment, these are the two things. If there is no punishment from God, they can do anything, whatever they like. You don't like to kill me because you think if you kill me, God will come and kill you. Otherwise you can kill me. That means you have not cultivated in your mind to reduce your cruelty, your anger, your hatred. You have not developed mercy, sympathy towards others. You never think of all these qualities. You think of God and punishment. Fear is the only thing work at that time in your mind. But all the other good qualities are not there. When a Buddhist observes this precept, I don't want to kill, not because of fear of punishment. I know it is bad. I know it is cruel. I know it creates a lot of suffering. By considering in this way, the danger of this act of killing, I want to stop it. Then you have given a chance to your mind to cultivate some good virtues there. You have developed kindness, compassion, sympathy, understanding. All the good qualities you develop in your mind. But when you stop killing, thinking about God and punishment, you are selfish. It is your selfishness. I see the difference now. All the other precepts are like this. The Buddha has given a parable in Dhammapada. He says, if you cannot understand why killing others is bad, then consider in this way. Attanam upamam katva nahaneya nakhate. This is more than enough for you to understand why it is bad. When another person come and try to kill you, think how you feel at that time. How you try to escape. And what sort of suffering, physical and mental suffering, you have to experience when another person come and try to kill you. When you consider in this way, you can understand why killing is bad. You cannot understand why stealing is bad. Then experience. When others come and take away your belongings, your property, how you feel? This is the practical way, not as a theory of philosophy. Not as a message came down from heaven. By using our human mind, we can understand. People say, oh, we cannot do this because we are forbidden to do this by God. God asks us not to do this. This is a small children's language. That is not the way for an intelligent man to understand things, to practice a religion. So, when you observe these five precepts, you should not think that you are observing these precepts only for you. When you observe these precepts, others will be benefited, not you. You understand? When you stop killing, destroying, disturbing others, others can live peacefully. Then you can take away fear that they have in their mind, because you never go and disturb them. What a wonderful contribution to others. If you don't go and kill and bluff and swindle others, they can maintain safety, security and happiness. They can sleep peacefully. Not necessary to have so many padlocks and iron gates and so many things to close their doors. Because of you, I'm sorry, you means not those members here. The whole country, whole world. You mean the whole world. Because of you, they have no peace. Because you go and steal. So when you observe this precept, each and every person can live peacefully, no disturbance. Third precept, sexual misconduct. I think you have read the newspaper for the last few weeks. What sort of sad cases are there? Can we believe that they are actually real human beings? 7 years old, a small girl was raped and killed brutally, without any mercy. Have you ever heard whether there is any animal in this world, after gaining sexual pleasure, an animal ever kill a female animal? I don't think there is. Animals never do this. What about this wonderful man? Educated, scientific educated, who got religion, who got God, who perform rites and ritual ceremonies and worship so many times a day. But that man can do that. Then who is more cultured, humans or animals? To me, actually animals are more cultured. They are not crooked, cunning. They live according to the nature. Human beings violate everything. So when we observe this precept, all those innocent people, weaker sex, also can live peacefully, without fear. So what is happening now in our so-called modern society? We think modern society is developed. Yes, developed in various ways. When an innocent young girl goes along, daytime, not even at night time, daytime, when that innocent girl happens to another young man coming by this way, and that girl goes to the other side of the road. This is the development. Because that girl cannot trust this man. Then where is the development? Those days, we were scared of animals, ghosts, and devils. Later, we realized the ghosts and devils, all these are mere imagination, our own imagination. Now we know how to escape from ghosts and devils. Chinese ghosts are very reasonable ones. Not like others, you know. I have never seen other ghosts, you know, very obedient and very reasonable. They come out only once a year. Come and stay only for 1 month. Not even one extra day. Then again slowly go back and sleep for another year. Very reasonable. But the other ghosts come and disturb us every day. But no Chinese ghosts. And you are also very clever. You know what to do when they come. You give only one chicken leg. They take this and go back and sleep again for another 1 year. So these are the beliefs we have. Now we know how to get rid of them. But we have no chance to escape from human being. Most unreliable living beings on this earth are human beings. Cannot trust. The nature of human mind is such, husbands and wives,